All right, so welcome everybody tonight to the shiur. It's a Pesach themed shiur on Paro's personal chariot. So tonight we're going to look at an aspect of Parshas Bishalach that relates to a concept tied to Paro. So it's kind of loosely tied to Pesach because it is Paro. And also we'll talk about Bilam a little bit. There's an interesting medrash that I came across that I wanted to kind of define. So we'll start from there. So if you have the source sheets or you want to just look at the screen, those are your two options. We'll start at source number one. So as the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, Paro saw an opportunity to chase after them. And it says in source number one, in Parshas Bishalach, Vayesoros Rechbo Vesamo Lokachimo. So Paro, he set up his chariot, he arranged his chariot, and he took the people with him. And he went to chase Klal Yisrael. Vayikach sheish milos rechav b'chor v'chol rechav Mitzrayim b'shal yishim al kulo. And he took the best chariots of Egypt, and he also took all the other ones as well. And there were men that were riding on these chariots to chase after Klal Yisrael. Vayichazik Hashem es leiv paro melech Mitzrayim vayirdof acharei b'nei Yisrael v'nei Yisrael yotzim b'yad ramah. So Hashem had hardened the heart of Paro, and he chased after Klal Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael left in a defiant manner, b'yad ramah. So the Torah tells us that as the Jews were leaving, the Mitzrayim, specifically Paro, saw an opportunity to chase after the Jews. And it says that Hashem hardened his heart, and he went after them. And of course, we know what happens in the end, hopefully, that at Yam Suf, all of the Mitzrayim are destroyed. So let's look at the Rashi on that. So Rashi says, Vayesoros Rechbo, Hu Be'atzmo. So Rashi notices that in source number one, it says that Paro himself was the one who arranged, who set up his chariot. So he also tried to gather the people up and galvanize them with words. So he said to the people, the Egyptians, that they hit us with the makos. And now they took our money, and we let them go. Bo imi vanilo esnagi machem kishar malachem. So Paro said, come with me, and I won't act like a normal king. Derech shar malachem avadav kodmin lo b'melchama. So most kings, their servants go before them in war. Vani akdim lefnechem. But Paro says that I'll go first. So I'll jump into the fire first. Shenamar ufaro hikriv. So Paro himself went first. Hikriv atzmo umiher lefnei chayalosav. So he went first before all of his soldiers. Derech shar malachim litol biza barosh kemosh yevchar. Also, most of the kings, they would take the loot. They would get the best ones, the first choice. Ani yashave malachem bechelek shnemar achalek shalal. But Paro said to the people, I'll split it with you evenly, and I won't just take what I want. So Rashi explains in explaining this pasuk in pasuk vav in source number one, that Paro, he did it himself, that he arranged his chariot, he set it up himself, and he also gathered up the people himself, and he convinced them to follow him by telling them that he would go first, and also that he would share in the loot with them. So the interesting part that I wanted to focus on is the fact that he did it himself, that he himself had set up his own chariot. So most would think that if you're in a position of power, you would get somebody else to do it. You know, why do you set up your own chariot? Have somebody else do it. So the Medrash notices this fact in source number three, and it points to an interesting connection relationship that hopefully I'm going to try to explain a little bit. So it says in number three, Vayesoros Rechbo, Hu Biyado Asru. So he himself was the one to set up his chariot. Derech Melachim Liyosam Omdim Bachirim Matzin Lahem. So most kings, they just stand by and they have other people do the stuff for them. Aval kan hu be'atzmo asru. But in this situation, Paro decided to do it himself. So he got his hands dirty over here. Kevan shero gidole malchus kach amad kol echad ve'echad v'yitzia le'atzmo. So once the gidole malchus, no, once they saw that the great kings did this by themselves, everyone did it themselves. I think it's referring to the Egyptians, that they followed him and they all arranged their chariots themselves. So Arba'a Asru B'Simcha, there are four individuals in Tanakh who set up their chariots or set up their rides, we'll just call it their rides, B'Simcha, with happiness. So this is the key that I wanted to focus on. Avram B'Yosef L'Dvar Mitzvah. So you have two good guys, you have Avram and Yosef, And they were involved in setting up their chariot slash their donkey, so we'll just call it their rides, for mitzvah. Bilam and Paro dvar avera. But Bilam and Paro were the opposites, the bad guys, and they're the ones who set up their rides, what they're going to travel on, for avera. Avraham dechsev vaychavosh es chamaro. It says by Avraham that when he woke up, we're going to see the psukim inside, but when he woke up, after Hashem had told him to destroy and kill his firstborn son, not his firstborn son, sorry, his loved son, Yitzchak. So he gets up early in the morning and he decides to put his saddle on his donkey himself. Bilam dechsev vaychavoshes asono. And Bilam did the same thing when he was going to curse the Jewish people. He set up his own donkey. Tavo chavasha shechavash Avraham lasos ritzon koneu v'tifram v'bilam shechavash l'dvar avera. So Avraham's chavisha, the way that Avraham set up his donkey, is going to come around and it's going to take away from Bilam's setting up of his donkey for avera, because Avraham was doing it for Hashem and Bilam was doing it for avera. Okay, so there's a lot of questions here. What does that mean that Avraham's going to protect or somehow take punishment on Bilam that he was chavash? So what exactly does that mean, and what's the relationship between these two people, these two individuals? B'Yosef k'siv, let's go back to the Medrash. B'Yosef k'siv v'yesor Yosef merkavto b'faro k'siv v'yesor asrechbo. And so too, we find the same analogy by Yosef and Paro, that Yosef set up his own wagon, and so too Paro set up his own chariot. Tavo asira she'asar Yosef lasos ritzon koneu v'tifra miparo she'asar l'dvar avera. So Yosef's doing it himself and setting up his chariot is going to take away from Paro's setting up his own chariot for avera. Okay, so again, the same question. What is the relationship between Yosef and Paro? And furthermore, how is Yosef setting up his chariot for whatever experience it's referring to, which we'll get to? What does that have to do with Paro over here? Is there any relationship? How is it going to somehow prevent Paro from being successful or whatever that means? And then the last part of this medrash is fascinating. It says, Mikan amru ava mekalkelis es ashura, sinna mekalkelis es ashura shel gedula. So from here we learn that love, it takes precedence over one's own position, and so does hate. Hate also takes precedence over one's position. So what that means is, I think, literally, that when a person is in a position of power, but they love something so much, they're willing to forget about their own importance and go about and do it themselves. So like the case of Avraham, it was he loved Hashem, he loved the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he was able to overcome his own sense of uniqueness and his own, I guess, his own position of power, where he could have hired somebody else to do it or asked somebody else to do it. But because he loved to do it, he did it himself. And so too by Bilam and Paro. You know, Paro was this king, and his sinna, the fact that he hated the Jews, was mekalkelis es ashura. It took precedence over his own ego and his own idea of himself. Okay, fine. So what exactly does that teach us? What exactly is the concept here that we're supposed to learn in terms of or in reference to the Medrash? So again, let me just summarize the Medrash. The Medrash says that the reason why Paro did it himself is to teach you an idea that there's four individuals who set up their own rides, either their donkeys or their chariots by themselves. Two are good and two are bad. The two good guys were Avraham and Yosef, and the two bad guys were Bilam and Paro. So Avraham, there's an analogy of Avraham setting up his donkey to go and sacrifice by Akedas Yitzchak, and Bilam setting up his own donkey to go be Mikhailo Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash says that Avraham's Chavasha takes precedence or came or is going to stop Bilam or somehow take, it says Tifra, it's going to punish him or prevent him. And same thing by Yosef and Paro, that Yosef somehow, his setting up his own Merkava is somehow going to have an effect on Paro, and it's like a, somehow his setting it up is going to be successful and Paro's is not. So what's the relationship between these two individuals or these two sets of individuals, and what's the concept here? So let's go to Avraham. We'll start with the first relationship, Avraham and Bilam. So it says by Avraham, by Yashkim Avraham baboker, by Chavoshes Chamaro, by Ikach Eshneni Aravito, by Es Yitzchak Beno, by Vakat Zeolah, by Yokom by Yilach, El Hamakom Asher Marlo Helokim. So Avraham woke up early after Hashem told him, guess what, you're going to have to kill Yitzchak. Yet he woke up early and he ended up setting up his own donkey, and he took two of his Na'arim, two of his youth, Eliezer and Yishmael, according to the Medrash. And he also took Yitzchak, of course. And he split up the wood in order to go to the place that Hashem was going to instruct him to go to. So look at Rashi. He says, Vayashkem Avraham Nizdariz LeMitzvah. So Avraham was juiced up to do the mitzvah, and he got up early. He woke up early to do the mitzvah. Vayachavosh Hu Ba'atzmo. He did it himself. Again, V'lotziva Le'echad Mi'avodav Sha'ava Mekalkelos Hashira. So Rashi quotes the Medrash and says that Avraham, he did it himself, and it shows you that when you love something, you don't care about yourself so much. You're willing to forego yourself in order to do that thing. Your own self-importance. So the second point is that whenever you go on a trip, you're supposed to at least take two people. The reason is because if you have to go to the bathroom, or one of them has to go to the bathroom, at least there's two left over, and I guess it's for protection. You want to be with somebody else who can help, so you guys can protect yourself. Okay, so Avram knew that. He took two of his, he took Yishmael and Eliezer with him. So he split up the wood. Okay, so we see here that two concepts, kind of the same thing as the Medrash, but it says that Avram was excited to do the mitzvah, and his excitement and his love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and following in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu had driven him to do his own maisa of setting up his donkey. And it teaches us that when you love something, you just don't care about yourself as much. You don't care about your self-importance. Your self-importance gets lost in the shuffle. So that was the idea expressed by Avraham. But now let's look at the evil side, the evil aspect of Bilam, who is related to Avraham in the Medrash. And he says, Vayakom Bilam baboker, vayachavoshes aso no, vayelech imsarei mo'av. So much like Avraham, Bilam, he got up, and he himself had set up his donkey for travel, and he went with Sarei Moav in order to curse the Jewish people. So Rashi says over there, Vayachavoshes asono, mikan shasina mekalkelos asashira. So hatred also, if you hate something so much, you'll just do it yourself and you'll forget about your own self-importance. And in this case, he hated the Jewish people and he wanted to destroy them. He wanted to curse them. Shechavashu ba'atzmo, he did it himself. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha. So Hashem says to Bilam, Kvar ki damcha Avraham avihem. So he says to Bilam, Avram came before you. So Rashi says that Bilam should have known that whatever he was trying to do wouldn't be successful because Avram, he knew about Avram. Avram had come before him, and Avram had done the same thing, and he was successful. So again, at least Rashi's creating some context for what it means that it's Tifra. It means that Bilam should have known the idea of Avram. And had he understood the idea of Avraham, he would have understood that he wouldn't be successful. But what exactly, again, is the relationship between the two people of Avraham and Bilam? And how does the fact that they both set up their rides, their donkeys, how does that change anything? How does that, what's that idea? What's that concept? How do they relate to one another? So one more point, and then we'll just look at the Sifsei Chachamim over here. Just one interesting point. There is a difference in the psukim. By Avram, it says, Vayashkim Avraham baboker, but by Bilam, it says he just woke up. So if he was really excited, he would have woken up early like Avram. So if the Sifzei Chacham says, Kevan shekam baboker, kodem shekamu na'arav, kedei lamaher, v'leilech, u'shelo lis'akev, ad sha'an arm yachvoshu es chamoro. So the Sifzei Chacham says he did wake up early, and he woke up early, except the pasuk doesn't say it. So why doesn't the pasuk tell us that just like Avram woke up early to do this, so too Bilam did? Umitarets, the answer is de lirmos chuvas or shalmakom amar kadosh baruch hu. The answer is that it leaves open the idea, the concept that Hashem is telling Bilam that Avraham had preceded you and done the same thing and woken up early and you're not going to be successful. So again, the fact that the pasuk doesn't say it is trying to leave open the idea that Avraham was somehow preceded or did precede Bilam. And there's an idea in Avraham that Bilam should have been aware of, and somehow that was the cause or one of the reasons why Bilam was unsuccessful and still attempted to go and curse Klal Yisrael. But the same question, we still haven't gotten the answer. I don't know if we're any closer yet, but we're moving towards it. We're getting there. So just two more ideas, just to get more facts and get some explanation here, and then we'll get to an idea, the first idea. And I know that this is not Pesach related, the idea of Avraham and Bilam, but, you know, it'll come back to Paro in the end. So look in source number 9, Vayachavoshes Chamoro. So it says again that by Avraham and by Bilam, by Avraham, this is by Avraham, that he set up his own donkey. V'im tomer maishna de gabi Yosef k'siv v'yes oras richbo, de gabi paro k'siv v'yes oras richbo. So why is it that in some places it says chavash, but other places it says asar? The gabi Bilam k'siv v'yachvosh es chamoro, hayelo lichtov al tzadikim o kulo v'yachvosh o kulo v'yesor. So he says that it should have been that all the tzaddikim get one word, either chavash or yasor, and all the rishayim get the other word. Elohainu tayma keshahalach Bilam lekal Yisrael. So the reasoning is because when Bilam went to curse the Jews, Amar le Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha ata chovish chamorcha lelech lekal Avraham kvar chamoro chavash lelech lemakom mitzvah. So you're trying to set up your ride, your donkey, in order to curse the Jewish people, but Avraham already set up his donkey to do a mitzvah. Chamoro, his chamor, yagin al chamorcha, will protect against your chamor. Umehai taima nami kasam bakum al halichasa, and that's why Hashem was angry at him going. Va'alfa gavdi mi kara amrlo kadosh baruch hu shiyelech mishum shehu atzmo chavash chamoro. So even though Hashem told him to go, Hashem was angry because he sensed that Bilam was unaware that he would be unsuccessful, and that's reflected in the fact that he wanted to do it himself, that he was excited, that he really thought that it was the sinna, the anger that he had towards Klal Yisrael, and he really thought he was going to be successful. So Hashem wasn't necessarily angry that Bilam chose to go. He was angry at the fact that Bilam was demonstrating a hatred towards Klal Yisrael and a desire to be Mekalel, even though Hashem was sending him in order to be Mevarech Klal Yisrael. Okay, fine. So again, same type of question, but at least we see something that really Avram's chamor is going to protect from the chamor of Bilam. So what does that mean? It's going to protect from the chamor of Bilam, that Avram's chamor will protect us or will protect and prevent him from being successful. So in what way is Avram's chamor and the fact that he was so emphatic about setting up his own ride, in what way is that connected to Bilam? So one last point here, interesting point, and I think it comes back to the idea. So we see in the next pasuk that Hashem gets angry at Bilam. Vayichar af Elokim ki olechu vayisat sev malach Hashem baderach lesatan lo v'hu rochev al asono u'shnei na'arav imo. So it says that Bilam, Hashem got angry at Bilam and he sent the malach in order to irritate him. And he was riding on his donkey. He had the two na'arav, his two na'arav with him. So Rashi says, over there, ki olechu rasha davar ra b'ini amakom minis ave leilech. He saw that Hashem didn't want him to go, but he still wanted to go. And he just strongly wanted to go because he hated Klal Yisrael. L'satan lo malach shel rachamim haya v'haya ratzech l'mano milachto shel yachti v'yovon. So Hashem sent malachim so that Bilam wouldn't fail and that he wouldn't be over averos. U'shnei narav imo. So again, we get the bathroom idea. Mikan l'adam chashev ayotzei derech yodich imo shnayim anashim l'shamesh l'shamsho v'chozrim m'shamshim zezeh. Okay, fine. So one last dasa kainim here. So Hashem gets angry at him for going, and the reason is, not because he went, again, it seems like, but because of the fact that he wanted to go, and he desired it, and that's reflected in the fact that he girded or he saddled his own donkey himself. So the last Dasa Kenim, look at source number 12. It says, Vayichar af Elokim ki olechu, v'ava b'shenasan lo rishos, mikol makom, machsheves bilam arasha, nikares mitoch ma'asav, she'im lo haya daito lekala, lo haya lo lelech. So the fact that, why was Hashem angry at him? Because even though he gave him permission, from Bilam's actions, it was clear that the only reason why he was going was to be Mekalel. But if not for the idea of being Mekalel, the Jewish people, cursing them, he wouldn't have gone. Once Hashem said, don't go, and then Hashem said to go, he says, Im kein chazerbo, Hashem had gone back on the idea of cursing the Jews. V'dayto l'kalalam, and Hashem wants to curse the Jews. L'ficha chara apo shal kadosh baruch hu, sh'arei hayalo lalos v'dayto, sh'ein kadosh baruch hu chozer midvarav. So Bilam should have known that Hashem isn't going back on his idea of Klal Yisrael. Ukshamar lo kum leich atem lo itiru l'kalalam, elo fisharo shehu chomein mamon. It wasn't that Hashem allowed him to go to be mekalel of the Jews. He just saw that Bilam was a big money grubber. He wanted money. Amar lo leich atem vehu halach al das lekalel, and Bilam went in order to be mekalel l'chach shalcho malach l'satan lo l'odio shu yodeh machshavosav. So Hashem wanted to demonstrate to Bilam that he's aware of Bilam's thought processes, and therefore he should stop in his tracks. Okay, so the question is, What is the relationship now? So the Medrash again said that Avraham, we see two ideas. Avraham was Chavash Chamoro, and he did that in order to sacrifice Yitzchak, and that was because of his love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ava Mekakel is a Shira. When a person loves something, takes precedence over their own position, and he didn't have to ask somebody else to do it, he wanted to do it. And same thing with Bilam, that Bilam's really hated the Jewish people, and the fact that he wanted to go just to destroy the Jewish people was evident from the fact that he did it himself. So what is the, and somehow Avraham's idea takes precedence or precedes the idea of Bilam, and therefore Bilam should have known this, and there's a connection there. So what exactly is the connection between Avraham and Bilam? So that is the question. Does anybody have any possibilities before I give a possibility? So any questions at this point on the questions themselves or any ideas?
Rabbi Ginsburg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry.
You're not entertaining the idea that the similarity between donkeys is...
No. It's not about the donkey, no. I'm not... No.
Because it's unique that each one, that those two had donkeys, and Yosef and Paro had horses.
I know, it is funny. I think there's a medrash that says that you see that Avraham's donkey was called Chamor, and Bilam's donkey was called an Ason. And they give a reason for it. Somehow it like reflected their personalities. I guess a donkey is like a more distinguished idea than an Ason. But yeah, but that's a good point. They did have differences, and I think hopefully I'll try to explain that.
I thought I saw a medrash one time that said that Bilam's donkey was really Avram's donkey, that was 400 years old or something.
All right, I mean, that kind of makes sense based on the svara that I'm going to give, hopefully. But yeah, that makes sense. That's interesting. All right, so let me try a possibility, and then we'll see if it works out. So what is there's a contrast here between in the Medrash between the two people. One is Avraham and Avraham's love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and really he overcame his own personal emotions towards his child, because his love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so strong that he didn't even care about himself. He put himself aside. He did it himself. He didn't ask. That's the idea of Mikalkelis Ashura. It means that when you love something so much, it's like your ego is not important. It's only the object that you love that's important, and you're willing to forego your own ego, and you don't care about your own position, your own importance, self-importance. You do it yourself. It's the same thing with Sinna, and we see that from Bilam as well. That the idea, the concept, just the first point, is the concept of Sinna Mikalkelis Ashura, is that when a person's so angry that they hate something so much, they don't really think about their own importance, their own self-importance, and they want to do it themselves. They don't ask somebody else to do it. So these emotions or these ideas, whatever you want to call them, are very powerful. And Avraham had one side of the coin and Bilam had the other side of the coin. But what is the idea? What's the difference between Avraham and Bilam? And what was Bilam trying to do? So it's a strange thing. I think Rabbi Unger pointed out that perhaps the donkey was the same donkey. But it seems like Bilam was trying to almost imitate Avraham in a certain sense, because he's doing the same exact thing. He's setting up his donkey himself, and I think that there's a concept. Other than that, he takes the two na'arav, and you could say that it's simply an idea in protection, or you could say that he was mimicking Avraham. And there's a lot of similarities. Again, like you mentioned, the donkey's the same, or it's both using donkeys. I think Bilam was aware of Avraham, of course. And the idea that Bilam had in order to be able to curse the Jewish people, I think, was that he understood that in order to be able to be successful, he had to be in the same state as Avraham had been. He had to be in the same state of selflessness, of service of God, as Avraham had done. And he even convinced himself that this was God's will. And you see that from the Hadar Zakenim, that he convinced himself that it was God's will that he be Mekalel. So he was trying to put himself in the same framework of Avraham, and in order that his tefillah, if you hold that what he was trying to do was be mekalel them through tefillah, which I think there's different interpretations of what the klala was, and I know that this isn't the universal, but in the past I've given shir that klala is really in the framework of Bilam was a tefillah that midas adin should affect klal Yisrael. So he knew that in order to be successful, he had to be in the frame of mind of an Avraham. And he was trying to almost imitate or mimic what Avraham had done. And he believed that he could attain that. He could be in that state of mind whereby his tefillah would be successful and the Jewish people, Midas Adin, would affect them. So I think that's why he was trying to mimic Avraham and he was trying to almost imitate him. But there's a fundamental difference between Avraham and Bilam. The fundamental difference is that Avraham's idea of selflessness, the idea of Ava Mekalkel Sashura, is really that there's an outside, something outside the self that really makes the self insignificant. So by Avraham, the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really what made him insignificant. But when it comes to Sinna is not about an external, it's about the internal. It's your own drives that you're really serving. So yes, of course, when you're so angry and you hate somebody so much, you're willing to forego your own ego, but it's all to serve your own ego, because ultimately the desire to destroy somebody is a desire for power, is a desire for aggression, so it's really antithetical to the idea of Avraham. Because Avraham's passion, Ava Mekalkel Sashura, was real. It's the idea that a person's ego becomes sublimated, or I don't know the right word, it becomes minimized in the face of love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's because you're thinking outwardly. You're not thinking about the self, the outside of yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the key. But with regard to Bilam and with regard to Paro as well, the idea of Sinah Mekalkelis Ashura is that as much or as selfless as you think you can be, if the source is Sinah, you're really serving the self. And Bilam was trying to mimic Avraham. He was trying to get into a selfless state. In fact, he did it himself to show or to demonstrate, just like Avraham, that his ego wasn't involved, that he's really Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But deep down inside, it was really Sinah that was driving it. And if Sinah is the source, like it was by Bilam, so really all the selflessness is really nonsense. It's really just a mirage. And the truth is, the selflessness is not real. It's really just all to serve the self. And that was the difference between Avraham and Bilam. So the idea of Bilam's lack of success and the tie into Avraham was that Bilam should have recognized this idea. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset about, that Bilam should have recognized that it's not the idea of just selflessness in terms of doing something yourself, not caring about your own position, but it's what you're serving, where the selflessness comes from. Does it come from something outside of the self, or does the selflessness or the act of, for example, setting up your own donkey, does it really just serve your own drives of anger and aggression, which ultimately comes back to your own sense of power? So it's like with Bilam and Paro, it's like you're acting in a selfless manner, but really, ultimately, it's all about the self. So it's kind of a contradiction, whereas Avram's the opposite. The selflessness of Ava is really tied to outside the self, recognition that you're nothing compared to that which is outside of you. So I think that's the idea. That's the connection between Avram and Bilam, and that's why that's what it means that Bilam, Hashem was angry at Bilam, and that's why he wasn't successful somewhat, because really, Bilam, again, was trying to, or he understood that Avram's state of mind was one of selflessness vis-a-vis God, but because Ava was the underlying emotion or the underlying idea, the concept, it was the idea of selflessness was a real one. It was that I'm insignificant relative to the ultimate being. But Bilam's concept or Bilam's desire to be selfless in the face of God and so that his tefillah would be successful, but ultimately it was driven by Sinah, and Sinah is self-serving. Sinah was never, it's not serving something outside of the self. So that's the idea. So the concept is that Bilam, on the one hand, wanted to be like Avraham. He tried to mimic Avraham. That's even the idea, I think, that the donkey was the same. It's the concept that he understood that in order to be successful, he had to be in the state of mind and the state of being like Avraham, a certain selflessness. But on the other hand, the concept is that his selflessness was rooted in Sinah. And selflessness that's rooted in Sinah is really just a contradiction of sorts, because Sinah is self-serving. It's to serve the self and in order to feel powerful and destroy something. So the same type of idea exists by Yosef and Paro. So let's look at that inside. It's a little bit different, but and that's why they're connected to one another. But by Yosef, look at source number 13. It says, Vayesor Yosef Merkavto, Vayali Kras Yisrael Aviv Goshna, Vayeroyla, Vayupol Tzavarov, Vayev Al Tzavarov Od. So what happened? Yosef had invited his brothers and his father to come to Mitzrayim. And Yosef, he was so excited to see his father that he set up his own chariot. So Rashi over there says, Vayesar Yosef Merkavto, Hu Atzmo Asar Esasusim Lemerkov, Lemerkava, sorry, his dar is L'chavad Aviv. So much like Avram is excited to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I know his love of God was pure, so too Yosef's love of his father and his kavod for his father was such that he lost track of himself and his own self-importance as the viceroy of Egypt. Vayirai love Yosef Nira El Aviv, so he presented himself to his father. Vayevkat Savarav Od, so they cried a lot. Okay, so we see again that the tzaddik, when there's a lack of self, and there's something outside of the self that they love, they respect, so they're willing to forgo one's own self-importance. The ego becomes minimized in the face of something else. And look at Rabbeinu Bachya over there. Look in source number 15. He says, Vayesur Yosef Merkavto, Darshu Razal, Amar Rabbi Yudan, Shnei Bnei Adam Ra'u Kavod Shelo Ra'a Beria Me'olam, Ve'elu Heim. So there are two individuals who had seen the highest or received the highest level of respect in the world. And who were they? Yisro v'Yaakov. So Kishaba Yisro Eitzel Moshe Maksiv Be. When Yisro came to Moshe, what does it say? Vayitze Moshe l'kras chosno. That Moshe went out to greet Yisro. Mi ra l'Moshe yotze v'enu yotze. So who in the nation of Klal Yisrael would see Moshe go out and not go out himself? Mi ra l'Aron yotze v'hu enu yotze. How could somebody see Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, go out to greet somebody and not want to go themselves? Mi ra'a shivim zakenim yotzim v'hu eno yotzeh. And who would see the shivim zakenim go out and not go themselves? Nimtzu kol elu yotzin achar Yisrael. So when Yisrael came, all of Klal Yisrael went out to greet him. That's the amazing kavod. V'chein Yaakov, and the same happened with Yaakov. Mi ra'a le Yosef yotzeh lekras aviv v'hu eno yotzeh. So which Egyptian or Jew saw Yosef go out to greet his father and didn't go out? Miral the Zikne Paro, this is by the Mitzrayim. Miral the Zikne Paro Yotze Vuhuenu Yotze. And not only did Yosef go out and the people that saw him, but they saw the Zikinim, just the Zikne Paro, go out. So who wouldn't go out? Umiral Kol Machli Mitzrayim Vuhuenu Yotze. Who would see the whole entire camp of Egypt go out and not go out? The Kayim Ashnem are Beneged Zikin of Kavod. So the whole entire Egypt followed Yosef when he went out to greet his father. So there's a weird parallelism between Yosef and Paro in the same sense as Bilam and Avram. Just like Bilam and Avram were kind of trying, Bilam was trying to mimic Avram, and he was trying to imitate him because he wanted to achieve something, and in order to do that, he had to be in the state of Avram. So too, there's a weird parallelism between Paro and Yosef, that when Yosef went out, he galvanized the people. The people followed him, and they did what he wanted. They were so entranced by Yosef and the fact that he went out, l'chavod of his father, that they followed, and everyone followed. You see, by Paro, he was trying to do the same thing. If you go back to source number two, yep, I got it right. Source number two, Paro, it says, v'esamola kachimo, that he was trying to galvanize the people to go with him, and he had to convince them to go with him. So in both situations, again, just like Avram and Bilam, there's a weird similarity. Both situations, either Yosef, he was motivated by Ava, and Ava was towards his father, and Paro was motivated by Sina, and he overcame his own ego because of Sina. And in both situations, there's other people were influenced by this. So I think before we get to the main point, there's a side point here I just want to point out. That you see, I think the Medrash is saying, part of the Medrash is saying that in order for people to be truly galvanized, to truly be behind somebody, so they, if they see a certain selflessness, so that itself is a motivating factor. So when they saw Yosef and his pure intentions to just serve his father, so that alone was a strong motivator for the people to follow. But by Paro, again, Paro had to try to convince them. Yosef, he just went out. He didn't have to say anything. People just followed him. Paro had to convince them, and the reason is because people can sense when you're really self-serving, and they don't exactly want to serve you, even because they recognize that your motivation is self-serving. So Paro is trying to convince them, no, I'm really for you. I'm going to go in front of you. I'm going to give you half the spoils. Yosef didn't have to do that. So one aspect that we see is the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha, that the tzaddik is capable of really destroying the self, minimizing the self for something outside of the self, for a pure love, like Yosef was able to do for his father. And that type of leadership really motivates others to follow along when people see a certain selflessness. But with Paro, you see the opposite. that really he was trying to demonstrate selflessness by setting up his own chariot, but ultimately the people saw through it, and he had to convince them to follow him, because even though he was doing the same action as Yosef, but again, it was Sinah that was the driving force. It was the hatred of Klal Yisrael, and again, the hatred of Klal Yisrael is really the concept of a self-serving attitude, a self-serving emotion. So I think that's really the idea, and let's just do the last Shita 16, the last Medrash. It says, Vayesor Yosef Merkavto, he Merkavis HaMishna Asher Noson Lo Paro. So this was the chariot, the secondary chariot that Paro had given him. Yosef could have asked many servants to do that, and so could have Paro, but Yosef could have. So because he loved his father, he did it himself. So Ava destroys a person's sense of importance and greatness. And same thing with Sinna. Ava mekal kelesh shuras gedola, k'desiv ayashkim avram b'boker, me'avaso es boro, v'ayachavosh es chamoro, uksiv v'yeser Yosef es merkavto, me'avaso l'hakbil p'nei aviv. So this is a different medrash. The first one said for the kono, for his creator, but I think this one makes more sense, that he loved his father, he wanted to show his father respect. Sinam mekal kelesh shura, k'desiv b'faro, v'yeser es rechbo, misinaso es Yisrael, uksiv v'yakam bilam b'boker, v'ayachavosh es asono, misinaso es Yisrael. So the Medrash kind of reiterates what we were saying. I think I just brought this one in to show you that by Yosef, it was all about his father and the love of his father. But it's the same concept as before, that there's a unique parallelism or connection between Paro and Yosef. And the Medrash is showing us that Yosef demonstrated a true sense of selflessness, because that which was driving his selflessness was outside of the self, his father. And Paro was the opposite, that Paro's selflessness was just a facade, because ultimately, it's self-serving. When you hate something, you just want to feel more powerful. You want to destroy them in order to serve your own emotions. So Paro, again, Paro, that's the idea that Yosef's setting up his own Merkava is going to take away from or prevent Paro's own success. It means that Paro was, in some sense, imitating Yosef, imitating the actions of selflessness, but he certainly wasn't going to have the same level of success that Yosef had. Because Yosef demonstrated a true selflessness. Paro's selflessness was just a facade, was just on the surface. So that really is the end of the shir, but let me just go back and then you guys can ask, anybody can ask any questions. But I just wanted to kind of summarize what we said. So the shir's main point was that Medrash. The Medrash says that by Paro did it himself. He set up his own chariot. And the Medrash says that there are four individuals that did it themselves, that set up their own rides. And they were Avram and Bilam. And just like Avram was Chavash as Chamorah, so too Bilam. And there was Yosef and Paro. So the question we had was, what's the connection between the two? And the Medrash seems to say that because Avram did it, or Avram preceded Bilam, somehow it would affect Bilam or take away from Bilam or protect against Bilam. And so too by Yosef. So the question is, what's the relationship between these individuals? They didn't even live close to each other around the same time. So what's the relationship between these individuals? So the answer we said was that really they're both expressing the same concept of a certain selflessness. And that's what the Medrash says. Ava mekalkelis es ashura, that when you love something so much, you forget about the self and you just do whatever it takes to, you know, because you love the other thing. And when you hate something, the same thing, you forget about the self. And all these individuals were either expressing the positives, like Avram and Yosef, or the negatives from Bilam and Paro. But what's the difference between the two? So the difference is that Avram and Yosef's motivation was pure, in the sense that their minimization of the self, the fact that they were foregoing their own gedula, was a reflection of something outside of the self that they had emotions towards, they loved or had a certain idea of a father or either Hashem or Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas the actions of Bilam and Paro, although seemed to be Mikal Kelis Sashura, and it seemed to be that they weren't careful or care about themselves, but ultimately Sina is all about the self. It's all about satisfying a certain egoistic, aggressive drive. So that's the fundamental difference between the two. And both Paro and Bilam are trying to mimic those before them. And Bilam, you see that it seems like he's doing the same exact thing that Avram did, but it's completely different. Although it seems the same on the surface, but again, the point of the Medrash is, no, it's completely different. It's fundamentally flawed, because again, as much as Bilam wants to act or seem selfless, ultimately it's Sinah that's driving him. And same thing with Yosef and Paro. And a side point is that Yosef was more successful in drawing the people out because he demonstrated the selflessness, whereas Paro wasn't, although he got the people to follow him, but Paro had to convince them, because people can sense when you're driven by your own Sinah, your own anger, which is self-serving, versus a real selflessness. So I think that's the connection between these two individuals. And again, there is a Pesach connection because we're talking about Paro, and I know that Yom Suf is really not part of, necessarily part of, it's part of the end of Pesach, but not the Siddurim. So yeah, so we'll finish off the shir with that point. Does anybody have any questions on the idea of the shir, the Svaras? And if not, everyone have a great Shabbos, and thank you so much for joining.